You might be tempted to do something else, but don't give in to that. Matter of fact, that's the title of this morning's lesson. Don't give in. Temptation, we're all tempted. Everybody knows that we're tempted. We're tempted on a daily basis. It can come in all kinds of forms. It can wear all kinds of faces, temptation can. But the question is, how do we keep from giving in to temptation? A great Old Testament example is given to us in the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. And I would encourage you to go to Genesis 39. We're going to begin reading in verse 7 in just a moment. We know some of the things that had happened to Joseph and the difficulties that he had in his life, of course, being sold and ending up in Egypt. We're going to begin reading in verse 7 of the 39th chapter. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife," talking about Joseph's master's wife, "cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, but he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her." Satan found that he couldn't overcome Joseph with troubles from the world, like being sold as a slave. So what does Satan do? Well, he tries to entice him with sensual pleasures. That's what he does. He tries to get him to give in by using Pharaoh's wife. Well, this story reveals some principles that will help us in not giving in to temptation. First of all, that Satan is responsible for all temptations. God is not to blame. God does not tempt men to sin. When James wrote, James chapter 1, verse 13, he left us by inspiration these words about temptation. He says in verse 13 of James chapter 1, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So the first thing is, God is not responsible when we are tempted. Regardless of what the temptation is, it did not come from God, but it comes from Satan. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he gives us this information in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says in the 5th verse of that chapter, he says this, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time," this is talking about a husband and wife, "that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Who does the tempting? It's Satan. The Bible is very clear about that. Satan is the one that tempts us. And of course, Satan is the one that tempted Jesus in the wilderness. When we go read the very first chapter of Mark, we read about Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And of course, Satan often uses evil people to tempt us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us in the 14th verse, in talking about certain types of people, he says in verse 14, "having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." There are some people that Satan uses to do what? To entice others. So that's a method Satan uses. He uses evil people, wicked people, immoral people, sinful people. Going down to verse 18 of that same chapter in 2 Peter 2, it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." So there are people, again, used by Satan to allure others to sin. How do they do that? Through the lust of the flesh. That's what he says. So God never tempts anyone to do anything wrong. It is Satan that does it. And Satan is very good at it. Matter of fact, he's the best. He's very good at deceiving people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in describing Satan, he says in verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, that's what Satan does. He's the master at misleading people. What he does is he takes something that is good, but he changes it in some way. He twists it around to get people to do what's wrong. That's what temptation is all about. Satan promises what he can't deliver. But he deceives people. He deceives people. And that is very much, if we want to use a fishing analogy, that's what we do when we fish. We deceive the fish. See, we take something good, which is food. Fish are hungry. They want to eat. So we take a good desire and we give them something that doesn't deliver. That doesn't deliver. See, Satan does that to us. That's what Satan does. And like I said, he's the best at it. He's the master of deception, of deceiving people. The second thing we learn from Joseph and his account with Pharaoh's wife is there's a difference, and this is a huge difference, between temptation and sin. And we know this for a number of reasons. Number one, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. The Bible says he was. We go back, I mentioned Mark, it's also found in Matthew, but in Mark chapter 1, we go back to the very first chapter of Mark's account of the gospel. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him, referring to Jesus, into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. Since we know Jesus never sinned, then we know that temptation is not sin. If temptation was wrong, if temptation was sin in and of itself, then Jesus would have sinned in the wilderness. But the Bible says he didn't sin. Joseph didn't give in either. Joseph was tempted by Pharaoh's wife, but that wasn't wrong. That wasn't wrong. So when Jesus was tempted by Satan there in the wilderness, he never did anything wrong. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer says this in describing Jesus. He says this in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In all ways, in all points, tempted as we are. That's why he's our high priest. That's why he can be our high priest, is because he has gone through what we have gone through. He knows about temptation. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And that certainly wasn't the only time he was tempted, was by Satan in the wilderness. Satan tempted him every day, I'm sure, in some way. But he can be our high priest. He can sympathize with us, because he knows about temptation. He was tempted. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about Jesus. And in verse 19 of that first chapter, he says this in referring to Christ, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, Christ was perfect. Not a single stain. Yes, he was tempted over and over and over again, but never gave in. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, in verse 22, it says, in referring to Christ, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who committed no sin. So there is a vast difference between temptation and sin. So what is temptation? It's the road that leads to sin. It's the path that leads to sin. It is not sin, but it's the path to get there. Going back once again to James, the very first chapter, much of that first chapter deals with sin and temptation. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." There's the progression. Temptation is not sin. Temptation can lead to sin when we give in to it. That's why it says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When we don't control our desires, it can lead to sin. That's what he's telling us. And again, when we look at temptation, temptation is what Satan does to something that's legitimate. But he turns it around, he perverts it, he twists it. He takes normal, everyday things in life and turns them into temptations. This is what John is talking about in 1 John chapter 2. When he begins at verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Listen to this. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Is there anything wrong with the flesh? Of course not. Is there anything wrong with our eyes and seeing? Of course not. Is there anything wrong with life? Of course not. But it's when Satan twists those things and turns them into something that they're not supposed to be. See, that's what Satan does. Again, that's Satan's misleading. That's Satan's deceiving. He takes something normal, and under normal circumstances is good, but he turns it into something that's not. That's what happened in Joseph's life. Satan was taking something that was normal and good within the marriage, but was taking it and using it as a temptation outside of marriage. See, Pharaoh and his wife were married. But then outside of that, it was wrong. But that's what Satan was doing, taking something normal, but twisting it, perverting it, turning it around. That's what he does. That's what Satan does. And again, he's the best at it. And that's how he gets people to sin in the world. Uses all kinds of deceptions. Takes normal things and turns them around. And being tempted is not a sign of weakness at all. It's not a sign of weakness in any way. Again, we go back to Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. If we say that being tempted is a weakness, then we're saying that Jesus is weak. And of course, he wasn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says this in verse 13, and I think it's very appropriate. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it, to endure it, to not give in." So when temptations come, and they will, the Bible is very clear about that, there's always a way out. There's an escape. The third principle we can learn from this, there's a reason why Satan tempts us. There's a reason. You look at the life of Joseph. What would have happened if Joseph would have given in? Well, first of all, he'd probably been killed by Pharaoh. But if not, he would have lost all of his influence. He would have lost it all. Well, Satan knew that, and Satan knows that about us. He knows that sin is going to hurt our lives in all kinds of ways. And certainly it's going to hurt our influence for good. So he repeatedly tempts us. If one way doesn't work, then he'll try another one. Again, going back to fishing, if one lure doesn't work, we try another one. Well, that's what Satan does. That's what Satan. One lure may work for a certain type of fish, another lure for another type of fish. A good fisherman knows that. Well, Satan's the best fisherman. He knows what kind of lures to use. He knows what will entice us. He knows the bait to use. That's what he does. He knows that sin can ruin our lives. Go back to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10. There in verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." See, that's what Satan does. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Sin does that to us. Peter refers to Satan in this way. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says this about Satan: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." See, devour, destroy, kill. That's his job. That's what he's doing. So he says, you've got to be sober, you've got to be self-controlled, you have to be aware. I mean, that's what, when we talk about people being sober today, as opposed to being drunk, people who are sober are in control. They're aware. They know what's going on. Drunk people don't. That's why drunk people do things they normally wouldn't do. That's why, of course, we shouldn't ever drink, period, because that changes our thinking. And that's what alcohol does. It reduces our ability to think clearly, to be in control. Satan, of course, knows that. That's why the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Satan, of course, knows that. So there's a reason why Satan tempts us. And lastly, this is the good part, we can be victorious over temptation. One reason is that Satan is not all-powerful. Satan's not all-powerful. One more time to the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 7. James writes, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." See, if he were all-powerful, we couldn't resist him. But it says we can. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we don't have to give in to temptation. We have the power to overcome temptation, which means we have the power to overcome Satan. And our victory comes through Christ. He constantly intercedes for us. He's always with us. And he's provided us with the means to overcome temptation. How does he do that? Number one, we can use the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 11. "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Remember, this is what Jesus did when he was tempted. What did he do? Well, he had the word of God hid within him, stored within him, so he used that as a weapon against Satan. Satan would fire his temptations, and Jesus would hold up the word, and it would just bounce right off. And that's why David in Psalms 119 says what he does in verse 11. "Your word have I hid in my heart." That's what I'm using to shield myself against temptation. So we do just what Jesus did. Use it, the word of God. We also have our conscience to use. One more time, Psalms 119. This time, we go to verse 104. Remember, Psalms 119 is all about the Word of God. Every single verse in Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And in verse 104, it says, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." How do I get understanding? Through your precepts, through your Word, I get understanding. Again, that's how I can not give in to temptation. Exhortation from our brethren is supposed to keep us from giving in to temptation. See, we have a duty to one another. It's not just each individual, but we have a duty. Hebrew writer says that. Hebrews chapter 3. He says, verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." See, brethren, that's what we're supposed to do. Exhort one another daily, continually, as often as needed. Why? So that we won't become hardened. So that we won't give in to temptation. And God has given us a full suit of armor. We just have to put it on. That's how Paul closes his letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." And he says, here's the reason. This is the end of verse 11. "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemings of the devil, the deceptions of the devil, the temptations of the devil." He says, that's how you do it. There's the key. There's the answer. Put on the whole armor of God. And you can't just put on part of it. Part of it leaves you exposed. So you've got to put the whole armor of God. And he goes in the rest of that and talks about what that is. Girding your waist with truth. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It says if you put on the whole armor of God, then you're able to stand against all the fiery darts that Satan fires at you. Verse 16. There's the shield. See the fiery darts, the temptations that Satan sends to us. And he's promised, as we already read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that regardless of the temptation, none of them will be too great, but that he's always going to give us a way out, a way of escape, a means of not giving in to the temptation. It might be having the Word of God stored in our heart. It might be our conscience. It might be our brethren. It might be the armor of God, whatever. But there's always a way of escape. There was for Joseph. There was a way for Joseph to escape. He was able to overcome temptation. How did he overcome temptation? By remembering God. What God had done for him. He remembered that, so he was able to do it. So God had enabled him. He gave him the means to not give in to temptation. He has given us the means to resist temptation as well. It just comes down to using them. The means are there. No, God doesn't ever tempt us to sin, but Satan does, and he will daily as long as we're alive. But like James says, we can resist Satan and he'll flee from us. That's what we have to do. So this morning, if there is a need for you to respond to that great gospel invitation by having your sins washed away or coming and asking for prayers, then now's the time to do it. Let us stand and sing this song.